You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
I know there's nothing anybody can say or do to ease the pain. I've been there.
Yes, sir, we understand.
Well, I tell you what, it means a lot to me. My son spent a year in Iraq, and so I lost him.
What you just listened to was the call that President Biden made to the family of one of the soldiers who was lost, who was one of the three soldiers that was lost and killed in action just a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know what it is about this Bo Biden story, why he continues to use his son in these circumstances with these families, and why he continues to bring it up. It seems like every time there's some kind of personal tragedy that he tries to relate in some way of what the family is going through, and he always brings up this Bo Biden, his son's death, and always claims, and he absolutely claims the fact that he died in Iraq, which he did not. He served from 2003 to 2015. And died of brain cancer in 2015, I believe, or 16, somewhere around there. And I know that I know that Joe, you know, read the book about the burning pits that took place over in Iraq and things like that. And some of the carcinogens could have been believed to be part of the reason why he got brain cancer and everything else like that. And go into detail, look it up yourself if you want to go look it up. I did. It seems like every time this man is involved with some kind of personal experience with like a service member's family or something like that, he always draws this parallel between him and the suffering parents. And he always tries to draw the empathy thing with them. And I just don't get it. Number one, it's not completely clear as to we know that he didn't die. We know that Bo did not die in Iraq. Okay, and he continues to say that. I don't know why. I know he loves his son. I'm not talking about that. Okay, I'm not talking about that, but I just don't understand like where he thinks that is going to help him to relate to the loss of their loved one. And it always seems to always go back to the focus on this man instead of the focus where it should be is on the parents and then the family that have lost their loved one in the service of this country. I don't get it. And I don't know why he continues to do this. And I'm sure that he has been told many times over and over and over again, President, please don't use that. I know it's a touchy subject. I know, whatever. I don't care. President Biden needs to come up with some other kind of, you know, some other kind of response besides his son Bo all the time. Because it's not true that he died in Iraq. And he continues to use that. And to me, it's disrespectful when you are calling somebody. And I don't know if you saw the video or not, but the mother and the father there, the father's head's down, the mother's crying. And he's sitting there not even talking about them. He's talking about himself. And I just don't understand. I don't get it. Like why this man has to always have the focus on himself. And that if you look it back and if you look at what he... when he is invoked the memory of his son, it's almost every time, it's like he forgets that he's talking to the individuals who are mourning, and he approaches it like he tries to, like he's having some kind of empathy or apathy for them. Well, no, you don't. You approach it like here's what he could have said. He could have said, listen, the nation mourns the loss of your daughter and serving for this country and gave her life for this country. In this country, we are going to do everything we can to make sure that her life and the lives of those three soldiers who were killed, that it means something. And we're going to go after these people. We are going to bring justice to this. But instead, he always brings up this Bo Biden thing, and it never works. And then he gets hammered in media and things like that for lying to these people. And I think it's just a shame. Like, be the president of the United States. You know, nobody. I hate to say this, but nobody really cares, President. At this moment, you're sitting there trying to console these people. That's not the way you console people. You don't talk about yourself. You talk about them. You talk about their family. You talk about the loved one that they lost. And then what are you going to do as president, as a supreme commander in chief of this, of the United States military? What are you going to do to make sure that the loss is not in vain? And you don't do that. And you come off as a hustler. You come off political all the time. And we don't need politics. We don't need any more politics in our country, especially when you're talking to the family of a dead soldier. You just don't need to do it. And I think it's offensive. I don't think it's right. It cheapens their lives and their service. And you just need to stop it, President. I've heard enough, okay? All of us have heard enough about this. Concentrate on somebody else for once in your freaking life. Stop bringing it around that it's always, the story is always about you. You do this all the time. Stop it. I've heard this over and over and over again for the last 3 years when you're the senator in Delaware. I've heard it so many times, and I'm President. It makes me think that you just don't really care, or you don't know how to have empathy and sympathy for the people that are serving, and you sure as hell don't seem to have any empathy or sympathy for anybody in this country when it comes to certain policies and things like that. And we could talk about 100 different things, you know, with the invasion that's taking place on the border right now, and you know, not taking responsibility for that. You know, when I was raised, you know, you go into a store and there used to be little signs all over. Keep, you know, don't touch, don't pick up, don't do this. You break it, you buy it, basically thing. And that's the same policy that I think that he needs to follow here. You won't accept responsibility for the mess that you are making. But you'll sit there and try to gain sympathy from people and empathy from people for something that, well, you know, it's kind of still questionable. And I'm not saying you don't love your son. I'm not saying that his loss wasn't something that was terrible for your family. I'm not saying that. God bless him and bless your family. But stop doing this. And it seems like to be a theme throughout your whole administration that you just don't know how to take the responsibility and handle the responsibility as the president, as the commander-in-chief. You just don't know how to do it. And you need to learn how to, exercise that authority in the position that you are. And you just don't know how to do it. You're poor at it. And you should let somebody else do it. I'm serious. You should let somebody else call. Let somebody from the military call them, and who is more professional at what they're doing. Because you just come off as a cheap hustle, and I don't like it. And I've read so many things about that call. And again, it's like other experiences. It's the same thing. To me, it's just embarrassing for the president to continue to do this, no matter what he thinks. It's fine if that's what you think, and your son died in Iraq because he, you know, in 1999 or whenever he's over there and he was exposed to the burning pits at the time, you think that there's no real super solid proof that that's the case, but you've read his book, and he was like a whole chapter in the book or whatever. By this staff sergeant. So you read that and you go, wow, I didn't even know, you know, that was part of the book. And now you've taken up that banner and now that's what happened to your son. You don't know that for sure. And I'm not a doctor, you know, So I can't say, but I think if it was proven that that was the cause of his brain cancer, then you could talk about it a little bit more, but it's never been really proven, you know, like a shadow of doubt type of thing, that that's the cause, if you want to assume that. But it's not something you need to you know, talk to a surviving family members and a mother and father about the loss of their daughter. I just think it's low class. Anyway, that's all I'll talk about on that. Listen, there's another story that follows up on this Claudine Gay, this Harvard president, that I thought was kind of unique. And I wanted to bring this up. Now, if you haven't been listening to the news lately, we also found out that the lady who is over the diversity, equity, and inclusion department or whatever, she is now embroiled in a plagiarism scam of like 40 different times that she had plagiarized her writings and her work while she was a student as well. In fact, some of it was her own husband that she plagiarized. I go, okay, you go figure that one out. You know, it's like, but I thought it was interesting that and then I came across this, and I got this in the Daily Wire. Let me just read this to you. This is really interesting. I'm going to read this here. A Harvard hosts gathering to breathe and heal event to help students grieve Claudine Gay's ouster. The Harvard Divinity School's Office of Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging. Now, I didn't know that that was what it was. I don't know if they changed that after the Supreme Court ruling. But they must have, because now instead of DEI, now it's, was it DIB, Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging, which is a unique little twist on DEI. But let's go on. Hosted a Gathering to Breathe and Heal event on Thursday to help students grieve the resignation of disgraced former President Claudine Gay. Only, I'm telling you, only in the elite circles would this take place. For this gathering, we will create a space. Here we go with the spaces again. Everybody has to have their space for us to discuss and process the departure of our former president, Claudine Gay, the plagiarist, the dishonest woman who cheats. The office wrote in a newsletter announcing the event obtained by the Daily Wire. The event was intended to give participants the opportunity to gather, to breathe, and to heal. To breathe and to heal. Can you just, Thursday, could you just feel all this anguish that these students are feeling because they found out that the president of their college, president of Harvard, was a cheat. Okay? Gay was forced to resign from her position last month amid allegations of plagiarism in various academic works that came to light while she was already under immense pressure for her failure to address the rise of anti-Semitism on campus, which culminated with the House committee investigation where she was, that's where it kind of all came to a head, along with the other two presidents. One has resigned, the other one hasn't yet, and I hope she does. The newsletter stated that many students are feeling grief upon their arrival to campus. This grief and loss may be connected to our personal lives, national and global unrest, harm and violence, storms and natural disasters. So we're going to bring in climate change as, you know, as a thing that's causing these people unrest. And the ousting of this cheat, Claudine Gay, as a president who should have never been in the position that she's in the first place, okay? But we're gonna talk about violence, global unrest, storms, and natural disasters. Are these increasing times of tension and divide on our campus and in our communities, it said. For many of us, this grief and loss also includes the resignation of the former president, Claudine Gay, after her short tenure. Jesus. Let's just throw everything in there that the woke and the left believe in, and let's just and we're going to sit around and we're going to do kumbaya and we're going to have this little safe space. Can you believe? I mean, these are our elites. Okay, these are the rich. These are the people that just don't have a damned clue about life. It goes on to say this is not a space for debate, rather it is a container for holding emotions in community, knowing that the circle holds us all, the email reads. The event was facilitated by Melissa Wood Bartholomew, the Associate Dean for Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging. In other words, DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. The office said it remains steadfast in its commitment to navigate current challenges on campus. Still haven't heard too much about their anti-Semitism and what they're doing to punish those people who are calling for the death of Jews, but I guess we'll have a safe space and a day of mourning for the loss or the resignation of a woman who is actually shouldn't have been the president of the United States, who should not have been president of Harvard, and cheated multiple times using plagiarism. We don't bring that up, right? The rest, just let me go back here. Remains steadfast in its commitment to navigate current challenges on campus through a restorative justice approach, rooted in I don't know what that word is, operational and through love. So here we have our wonderful Harvard setting aside a day to mourn somebody who lied and got her position because she lied. It wasn't because of her race. It wasn't because she's a woman. It wasn't because she's a black woman. It's simply because she lied. And she is heading up one of the most, a campus and a university that has been ranked the lowest in free speech of any other university in this country. Yet we're going to pause, and all these people whose hearts are broken, their minds are so struggling with the things of this world and climate change and storms and, you know, their Teslas that won't charge because the temperature is below zero, and all these wonderful things these difficult times that they just don't know how to deal with and they don't know how to handle. So we're going to create a nice little safe space for these people to be able to deal with this, and like it's just a day of healing. and these are the people that are going to supposedly quote unquote lead our country someday. These are the elites. These are the rich that are supposed to lead our country, and it really astounds me and really worries me that these are going to be the people that are coming out of these universities and taking these positions. And I'm worried about what they're bringing out with them and how they're going to apply what they learn in future endeavors that they have, whether they get into politics, business, or whatever. It's quite incredible. But, you know, thank you, Harvard, for completely missing the point of the whole Claudine Gay experience. Thank you. You completely have, completely sidestepped what exactly took place. And I didn't get a chance to sit in any of these little spaces. Maybe somebody will present something or somebody will record something that, you know, that took place and we'll get to listen to that. But I'm sorry that I wasn't there to be able to, you know, to grieve your president for plagiarism. I learned that in elementary. I learned that when I was in elementary in 7th and 8th grade, that you don't use other people's works unless you give them credit for it. And if you did, you either failed on that paper that you wrote, or you were reprimanded in some way because you did not give proper authority to those, or not, you know, proper mention to those who you're using as thoughts. Anyway, Wanted to say thanks for joining me. That's all I have for today. Hope you have a wonderful Monday. And be safe this week. It's been a good week this week. It was mostly rainy all week, but the temperatures were mild. We're in February already, and I can't believe that January and December we haven't had nearly the snow we had last year here in Utah. So it's been good that way. But I hope everybody has a great week. Be involved, use your voice, see what's taking place in the world, and have a voice. Don't be afraid, because there's a lot of other people out there that are voicing the same thing. Some people may be scared to voice those opinions because they may, you know, be shouted down and by those with big loud voices. But usually those people with the big loud voices are just maybe, you know, just a few. And if we gather enough people together and we have a one voice, that voice can be very loud and very effective in fighting off what is going on in this world today. And there's a lot that we could voice about, and maybe something I'll talk about on my next episode. So have a good week. Be safe. Take care. You know, and just one more thing before you, before I go here, I really had a great time this weekend on Saturday. I contacted my daughter who still lives here in Utah, and invited him out to lunch, and we went to go have pizza at this place called Fat Daddy's. Really, really great pizza, big pizzas too, and so we met there. It was wonderful. It was funny. I was waiting for them to show up, and these women from Florida were there. I don't know what they're there. There was like 30 of them there, but some of them were from Florida, and they were like freaking out because this first time they've ever seen snow, I guess, and the snowflakes were really small. And it's exciting to be around your family. I loved being there with my grandkids, my grandson, my granddaughter, and being able to talk and, you know, finding out what they're experiencing in their schooling, what their lives are all about. And it was just a wonderful time. And I hope that this week that you take time to reach out to your family members. If you have a family, if you get children, reach out to them, say hi. Especially if they're away. All of mine are raised and they're out of the house with their own families. And they're all over the United States, Oklahoma, back east, in the Virginia, Maryland area. I've got one out in California in the service. I've got a family here, grandchildren here in the valley, and but they're all over the place. I guess they had their father's genes, because I never stayed around home since I was 19, and never lived close to home, so they must have my genes as well, which is okay, and I understand that. But it doesn't, with today's communication, it's so easy to stay in touch, either by text or FaceTime or whatever, it doesn't matter. You can stay in touch, reach out. Everybody needs to be know that they're loved and they're part of a bigger group and a bigger community. So please just have a good week. Talk to your family, be close to them. And until next time, have a good week.